This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Matt, we are about to dive into something that I did not know existed until we did this show, which is that,
yes,
while we grew up on Owl TV, there were three not Owl TV specials that played on the Canadian channel Much Music called Owl Music. Not as much of a ring to it.
No, it also does not have the wonderful little jingle that he always does for Owl TV.
No, it
they're definitely lacking in the title cards and the extra stuff. They seem to lean into barbershop footage, but we're gonna have to get into that.
Yeah, dude, there's some the stuff that they got to is really weird. What I'm interested in, and we'll see how this plays out. We're watching this before we get to Off the Deep End. There was an Owl TV produced as well for Off the Deep End. I'm very interested to see how much of this footage appears in both editions that we watch, because we can skip the whole middle of this, because the middle is literally just a condensed version of the complete Owl.
It is. He actually uses the footage, although there were moments in it where I was like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, like, is it even this? Is it the same narration, or do they actually, like, it is exactly the same?
It is exactly the same.
There were moments that felt, okay, I don't want to jump too far ahead. There's a moment in that process where also, like, there's a commercial break smack in the middle of it, which affected my, like, perception of the whole thing. I couldn't tell. Some part of me felt like it was maybe slightly edited differently, but it was definitely, they just, inserted a bunch of the complete Owl. Which is fine. Despite that, I was actually quite surprised at how much original material was made for this special.
So here's the one thing I'm going to tell you. I am almost positive we see that Paula Abdul interview in the Owl TV special that we watch.
Oh, really?
And the reason why I say that is because if you watch it, he literally says, "Welcome to Owl TV" to Paula Abdul in that clip.
I didn't catch
and I was
that.
Like,
I didn't catch that. That's
I was
funny.
Like, oh, well then. I think we're going to see this again in the very near future.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we've said before, like, you can't blame Al for...
work smarter, not harder,
At the time these were made, the idea that he thought, like, that anybody was going to be comparing the American and Canadian broadcasts of this for overlap, I mean, that was just probably an unimaginable thing back then, that that someone could have access to both of them.
Yeah, but I mean, I do think that there's a good handful of very Canadian-specific jokes that we get in this as well. I think the first real bit that we see, let me say this. The other thing that I don't love with the Much Music is that I missed it being Al running a pirate radio station or whatever. Like, this is literally just, I think it cuts right after, but according to the Wikipedia, it was that, like, one of the Canadian VJs was on camera and Al just kind of walks over and just, like, shifts them out of the shot and is like, now it's my show. Like,
yeah. Well, it is. Yeah. I appreciate that it's a different delivery. I appreciate that it is because it's structured so differently. Like, Al TV actually has a premise. Which is crazy. When you think about it, like, there's no reason for it to be a high concept exercise, but he actually has made it one with the pirate radio hacking into the MTV feed. And this is literally just him guest hosting. I like the fact that despite the So he's doing this in a studio, obviously, right? He's in their studio. But also, it's Much Music in 1992 or 91, whatever year this was made. And it is, boy, is it scrappy. Like, it is literally, like, there are multiple shots here where while he's doing his narration, he is just walking across
People's desks.
And they really seem like they are just sitting there working for real. And he is stomping on their papers and is like, I mean, it's so funny and scrappy in just a very different way. Like, I love how small and DIY this up. This just looks like a local community television station. He even says at one point that it is actually a UHF station.
There's a couple bits where you can hear people laughing in the background, but it's in front of a live studio audience. Like, I think that just as he was doing, everything in this feels like it was one take.
You know absolutely.
What I mean? Like, it's
no, there's a moment where he's walking through the studio and narrating, and another host or another guy's like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, it's going really well. Wow, everyone's so nice here, but just does not break the take at all. Like, I feel like nobody could tell when he was shooting or not. I don't know. It is like a very, very considering that he does it at the studio, I love that he has kept it so charmingly DIY and like lo-fi, everything about it.
So I think here's like the positive and negatives I'll say.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you're saying. I think that this is so charming. It's so frenetic. It's so low budget. Like, there's so much to like about it in that sense. I also think that because we're watching just the Al bits, there was a point about 35 minutes in when I was like, I cannot believe I have to sit through 12 more minutes. Like, it's just, it's exhausting and draining to watch because it's, I think having commercials and music videos to break it up helps, but it's just like, this is just
it certainly does
attacking me with bit after bit after bit.
No, you're absolutely right about that. It's also a shame because, again, as we've seen on previous ones of these, the uploader is cautious to not get a copyright strike, so they eliminate the music videos. And I'm pretty sure that we also lose a couple jokes.
I think so, too, because the Genesis joke barely plays except for the very end when the music's gone.
Exactly, yeah. And there's also, like, he starts playing Losing My Religion at one point, and you can hear him talking over the video for a second, but then the video cuts away. And I feel like there's little moments. More than on MTV, I'm interested to know if the rules are different in Canada or on Much Music. They might have been. But he plays with this a little bit on MTV, but not since early Al TVs have I seen so much of him inserting himself into videos. The first, like, real joke here is, like, people doing requests.
And they request his duet with a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah, they were like, we love your duet with with Bruce on Brilliant Disguise. And it cuts to the Bruce video. And at the very end of the video, in, like, the final chorus, Al just appears. It looks pretty good. Al is just inserted.
It's a great green screen. It's a really well-done green screen.
Yeah, and he literally sings a high harmony over Bruce on Brilliant Disguise. It is awesome. It's really, really good. I mean, we've had little moments of that on the MTV ones, but it feels like there's more here. And again, the only thing that makes me sad is I feel like not all of them made it onto YouTube.
Yeah. No, I... Also,
which I agree does make it feel long sometimes. Like, it's just, yeah.
Also,
yeah.
Who I forgot to write down the name of the guy who put this on YouTube, but my God, the editing that they did at some points, I'm like, this person's a psychopath. Like, it would be like three different things simultaneously playing on top of each other for a couple seconds, and I'd just be like, what is happening? What is happening, guys?
I know. There's also a moment, we're really jumping around on this one, but that's okay. Yeah. There was a moment where Al sets up that he is showing, this is another thing that I think got cut. He sets up that he's about to show a new version of Michael Jackson's Black or White video.
Yeah.
And he sets it up so, like, he's like, oh my God, this is huge. Like, you know, Michael's, like, such a perfectionist, and he likes to, you know, even when something's out, he still wants to keep working on it. And he's just constantly doing revisions. And here's the new version of Black or White. And then it cuts to this other shot, like Al overlaid on top of something else, talking about a totally different subject. And for the longest time, I was like, is this the Black or White
video
was
so
about to start?
Confused,
but it's not.
Happening.
It's just he just cut away. But he literally overlays footage of Al on top of. Yeah, I mean, this guy really, like, boy, did he spend a weekend working hard on this.
No, he definitely spent
respect,
some time.
Respect.
So he takes another letter after the Bruce Springsteen one. Yeah. And the letter is hilarious. It's this person who's dying.
I love this.
Bed dying. They don't have much time left, and the only thing they need before they pass is some Bryan Adams. And Al says, I would love to play that, but that's not Canadian content. So here's Sweet Emotion from my favorite Canadian group, Aerosmith.
While he's reading the letter too, so sincere and serious, like, I'm one of your biggest fans and I'm in a hospital bed right now, not doing well. The camera is like slow panning in on Al. Like, yeah. It could not be more dramatic and over the top. And then Al finally finishes the letter. And I just love the idea that Bryan Adams is not Canadian.
Yeah, Bryan so Adams isn't Canadian Aerosmith. Enough. We have
for people
to play
who don't know,
Aerosmith.
Bryan Adams is Canadian. Aerosmith, definitely not. But Al plays Sweet Emotion instead of this person's request. Yeah, it's great.
And then that's when he finally realizes, hey, this is Al music. We can do whatever we want here. And he goes, I just want to watch people getting their heads shaved. And then we just get this crazy montage of people getting haircuts for what feels like 2 minutes.
It's a long time with just like generic, like elevator muzak underneath. And it's just people getting their heads shaved.
Yeah.
Like I thought to myself in that moment, I was like, this is maybe even weirder than anything we've seen on Al TV up
so
until this
abstract.
Point. Like, this is way out there stuff, man. Like they really gave him, free rein, on this production, which I love to see. That's some avant-garde comedy.
Then we get the first of, I believe, three Al interviews in this special.
There might even be more than that because there's a lot of really short ones.
Yeah, but like,
but this is
I
a full
mean, yes,
one.
Yeah, yeah I yeah. wasn't counting the Vince Neil one, but yeah,
or
you're
Def
right.
Leppard.
So there's like four or five of them, but the first one we get is Tom Petty. Probably my favorite of all of them. Like, the Tom Petty answers to the questions are so good. The two that I wrote down was, I hear you dress your roadies up like dogs and make them run around your backyard. And it cuts to Tom Petty. He goes, I do every night.
There's also a somewhat, I guess a little bit cringy now, Sinead O'Connor, who just died. And of course the jokes about her shaved head go back very far, but he makes a joke about it. It's like, oh, remember that time we got together and shaved, Sinead O'Connor said, and Tom Petty just goes, I don't know when I've had so much fun.
Yeah. There's another one where he goes, I got a joke for you. So there's a Jew, a lesbian, and Lawrence Welk, and they walk into a bar, and then it just cuts to Tom Petty and goes, you can't make jokes about Lawrence Welk.
Tom Petty cuts him off to say, oh, you can't make jokes about Lawrence Welk. I gotta tell you, that is a perfectly written joke.
Oh,
the
my
two
God.
Of them, like that back and forth, like that's great. That is, Al is just so smart. Like,
by the
brilliant.
End of that interview, it seems, and we say this all the time, I wish I could see the original interviews because Tom Petty seems so frustrated with whatever is actually being interviewed with him to the point that he gets up and like takes the microphone and yells no into it and puts it down at the end of the interview.
Al's fake thing is like, anything else you want to talk about before you go? Well, they, of course, have an argument at the end in classic Al fashion where Al asks if Tom's heard his new album Off the Deep End, and Tom is like, oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
It sounds awful. And Al's like, all right, well, that's enough of that. Anything else you want to talk about before you leave? And it literally cuts to Tom Petty walking away and in his like lavalier microphone that he just took off his collar, just being like, no, and leaving. Like, wow, that must have been a bad interview.
Yeah. Then they go to the Rabid Facts segment, which I guess is like a normal thing in the show. And I can't believe I wrote down every single one of these, but he reads off the 10, the top 10 films.
The box office top 10 at this time. Spoiler alert, guys, none of these are real.
None of these are real. And I'm not going to do all of the setups, but it's just Goys in the Hood, Star Trek 7. No, really, this time, this is the last one, honest. The Russian House Party, the Jackson Family.
Instead of the Adams Family, the Jackson Family, yeah.
Thelma and Louise 2, Regarding Buck Henry. The Archies.
Oliver Stone's The Archies.
Oliver Stone's The Archies. I'll Be Back. Stephen King presents That Pruning Shears Guy. Fried Green Burritos. Steven Spielberg's Porridge. And then the number one movie in the box office, Madonna in Look at My Hooters. Which is just a sign of the times with all this. It took me a second to piece together that the Steven Spielberg one was making fun of Hook.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, what is this one about? Like,
no, I was a little confused by that too. A couple like extra notes because I really liked his postscript for Thelma and Louise 2. He says, Thelma and Louise 2, where our heroes learn that even in the afterlife, all men are creeps. That's another great joke. And then the only other one I note down is regarding Buck Henry. I don't get that at all. What is that?
There was a movie called Regarding Henry. That's the
Regarding
only,
Henry?
Yeah.
But who's Buck Henry? I don't know who Buck Henry is.
Buck Henry, I think, is like a goofy musician from like the 30s.
Really?
I'm going to look this up.
That went way over my head. I just did not get that at
all.
Who
is Buck Henry? Buck Henry is an American actor, co-wrote The Graduate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's got a... He was... he worked with Steve Allen and Mel Brooks and stuff like that. Like, he was probably the least famous of the comedy writers of that, like, late 50s, early 60s era.
An old school... Yeah, just an old school comedy writer. That is just... leave it to Al, once again, making these, like, deep cut references that just go over my head.
Yeah.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
After he does the breakdown of all the movies, he talks about Motley Crue kicking Vince Neil out. And in the interview, he's like, I hear you're going to be doing a project with Bob Dylan. And it cuts to Vince Neil going, I wouldn't want to work with anyone else but Bob.
Bob Hope.
Oh, Bob Hope. Yeah.
It was Bob Hope. He says, yeah. He's like, oh, you're going to do a USO tour with Bob Hope. I wouldn't want to work with anyone else but Bob. Really? Bob Hope? And Al's so surprised. And then it ends with Al actually getting into a fist fight with Vince Neil.
Yes.
It's like, I mean, because he's like, wait, you don't want to work with any of these other people? He's like, no, I don't want to work. All right, calm down, Vince.
Yeah,
calm
he
down,
goes,
Vince.
I'm pretty sure that Millie Vanilli and David Lee Roth are both available right
That's
now.
That's right.
And then this is where we start to hit. Up until this point, it's been pretty much all new content that we have not seen.
Yeah.
Al promotes that after the next commercial break, they're going to be doing a spotlight on Weird Al.
Yeah, so this is another reference. Like, Al is dressed up as someone else.
Yes.
Introducing a segment where he says, we're going to sit down and interview Weird Al Yankovic. Now, obviously, he is playing somebody there, but again, maybe I'm just...
Yeah, I think
it's
just a Canadian
I wasn't
BJ
watching enough much music
yeah.
at this moment in time, so I don't know who he's referencing here, but he's obviously playing someone who must have had a recurring segment on Much Music or Canadian television in general. And that's when we cut to, essentially, the complete Al. Also, we get the solar radio skull plate.
I was going to say, we get another Sky High skull plate. I'm pretty sure we've seen this specific commercial
We definitely
before.
Have. We yeah. definitely have seen the solar radio skull plate. Solar-powered, solar radio. Exactly.
Now,
won't make you look like a jerk.
Now, what this episode was missing that we were so blessed with last time we did an Al TV was like the actual authentic 80s commercials.
Yes.
But we do get, and I wrote down, I'm really bummed I didn't get the full version of whatever this ketchup commercial is, because we get like 5 seconds of a ketchup commercial that I'm just like, what
yes.
is happening in this commercial? It's like a song. There's like dancing food. Like, it looks delightful.
I can appreciate the people trying to remove the commercials, but yeah, no, the one we did where the commercials were all intact, boy, was that a good time.
That was half
trying
of our
make
episode.
Sense of it all.
For half yeah. of our episode was just reviewing the commercials.
Oh, we were mostly interested in those commercials, yeah, for sure. The jet ski commercials.
So Al does this weird thing where he talks about his tour dates, and then he doesn't cover them until way later in the episode, which, like, I literally started typing. I'm like, all right, here we go. We're going to get these wacky tour dates. But then he starts running down, hey, stick around. You're going to see an interview with Paula Abdul, an interview with Paul McCartney. He goes, we're going to world premiere a new Geraldo song. That should be fun, which I will jump ahead to the joke. Later on, we get a very brief snippet, and it is just that he is playing the Rico Suave music video, but he's inserted Taco Grande on top of it.
I know. I couldn't believe it. Because for a moment, I was like, wait a minute. He did not do a video for Taco Grande.
Yeah.
I would love, oh my God, I wish we could find out, like, did Much Music let him play the
I think
Rico Suave
do whatever
video
he wanted.
With Taco Grande's audio on top of it? Because that would be insane.
Well, because we also get, he plays the losing my religion, like you said, and then it does show that they aired a Polka Your Eyes Out live performance as a music video at this point.
They did, and you know what? I looked it up. It's awesome.
I'm sure it is.
I'm pondering. I feel like we should probably wait because we're going to talk about Polka Your Eyes Out in a few weeks, and maybe we should like save it for that. But there is, and incredibly, it's up on YouTube, the entire thing. It's a professionally recorded and shot version of Polka Your Eyes Out on some sort of a special stage. It's got the Comedy Central watermark.
Oh, wow.
In the corner. And I don't know what the occasion was. I have to look into it more carefully, but it is a killer live version of Polka Your Eyes Out. Well, I think it's the first time we've seen.
I remember what it is because Christian brought this up on the Hot Rocks Polka episode. It was Comedy Central did like a 50 years of Dr. Demento special, and Al debuted Polka Your Eyes Out before Off the Deep End had come out.
It was a Dr. Demento special. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, it seems like even at the intro of the Polka Your Eyes Out video I saw, they say, like, once again, Weird Al Yankovic,
yeah.
Which there's got to be more footage from that
we'll
show.
We'll have to dig that up. We'll have to try to find at least that footage.
Again, I don't want to go down too much of a tangent because we got to talk about Polka Your Eyes Out, but it's so satisfying to see one of the polkas played live so well.
Nice.
You, I feel like you really there appreciate. He's got a horn section behind him.
It sounded record perfect. I can't wait.
It's so good.
I just watched a performance of to bring up an artist that we're gonna talk about in a couple months.
Yeah.
One of the TikToks I follow is just the Music Archive, where this guy just pulls up old live performances of bands from the 80s and 90s and just uploads the full like television performance.
Yeah.
And it was They Might Be Giants performing Birdhouse in Your Soul on Jay Leno's Tonight Show. And that also, they have Leno's full orchestra playing behind them. And it is the best version of Birdhouse in Your Soul I've ever heard. Like, with that full like orchestra playing, it's great. So the Paula Abdul one, I feel like we're going to have to talk about this again in a couple weeks when we get to the Al TV, because like I said, he literally refers to her as being on Al TV.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. And it's also just worth noting, because we breeze through it after, I'm not only now realizing where Al is saying he's going to interview himself, that is setting up what then just becomes
the complete
Weird Al story, quote yeah. unquote, that which is a snippet of his fake bio from The Complete Al, complete with like interview with his parents talking about what a disappointment he was that he didn't become an architect.
Yeah,
there's some great moments. I did rewatch
factory, it. Factory, like I watched it all too. Like
the
I was
nasal
like,
decongestion factory, and I also just have to say I was so happy to once again get to see the banjo player. I don't want to do my laundry.
I don't want to do my laundry. Made me
like,
so happy to hear again.
I really want, like, I think he might be my ultimate. Like,
guest.
I want him on this show.
Yeah,
we have to find that guy. I'm nervous that he's not with us anymore, but I really want, like, that dude, that guy is my hero. If anyone knows anything about that guy, send us a message about
him,
please.
Find us and let us know.
Sorry, now we can move on. Yes, all of that happens. We've seen it before. We've covered it before. And then we get the Paula Abdul interview. This is another set of footage that Al is using where she is answering every question with the most meek, like, thank you.
Yeah.
And
compliments her nostrils.
She looks so uncomfortable the whole time. Like, at least at the beginning, it's funny. She looks really uncomfortable, really like, I don't want to be here. I'm nervous. She compliments, Al compliments her nostrils. But Paula loved Al's new album. Unlike Tom Petty, Paula's all in on it. So much so that she lets Al blow his nose on her sleeve.
Blows her nose on the sleeve and also lets him rip her clothes off with his teeth before we go to commercial break.
It's when Al puts moments like that into his shows, I'm just always so struck by it because it just feels so out of character. Yes, Al asks if he can rip her clothes off with his teeth, and she goes, oh, I'd be honored.
I'd be honored.
And then Al gets wide-eyed and goes, we'll be right back. Like, there you go. That's as risque as Al gets,
yeah,
for sure.
Then we come in at the very end of the Van Halen Right Now music video, where it shows Al looking really bored, and it says, right now, Al's getting bored. Right now, Al's going to stop the video. And then he goes, all right, stop the video.
Yeah.
This leads us into the Genesis bit that I wish we could see more of. But at the very end, when Al just starts doing a big crazy tap dance, yeah. I did start to smile. And then we get
he puts his leg over his head like he always does. He just flails around on the floor and then he walks away. It's just they extend the end of the video a little bit there for him. Yeah.
The best part of this entire special is this next scene. And it is Al completely unhinged, unscripted, on the street, just bothering passerbys.
It is amazing, guys. This is Al doing essentially Billy on the Street.
Yes.
But so early, it's amazing. He is just bothering people in the streets
him
of Canada.
Screaming as someone walks by with a baby yelling, "Where are you going with that baby?
Where are you going with that baby? Why do you have that umbrella?"
It's because it's raining. Then he goes, yeah. "Sir, where are you going?" And he goes, "To heaven." And
yeah,
then
to heaven.
He runs across the street to ask a guy, "What's the capital of Canada?" And he gives the correct answer and he goes, "No, it's a C. The rest of the letters are lowercase, you jerk."
What a jerk, he says as walking away from this guy. I was like, man, this is like he is really like, it's only one corner, but Al with his microphone and cable is just running across the street. At one point, he almost runs into a bicyclist.
Oh my God.
This could not be more.
There's
like
almost
gorilla.
A car accident. There's so many cars trying to get around what's happening. But the highlight is he runs up to a girl, and before even a question is asked, she sees Al, and you hear her go, "Oh no."
I know. And she's the only one who gets, of course, he asks her, like, how many letters are in this word? And he says a ridiculous, like, obviously made up word. And she says, 37. And he's like, "You're right." And he's like, "And your prize." And he pulls from his pants a set of like fake underwear with hearts on it and just puts them on her face. Which then she turns around and puts them on top of his head. She was a very good sport.
Yeah, she got what was happening and she went with it.
I don't know if it's possible that that was something that happened on this show, that there was like a people on the street interviewing each other kind of thing that happened, because everyone, I mean, maybe it was just very friendly Canadians, but everyone really took that
pretty well.
Everyone really took it pretty well. Yeah.
Well, the one
he runs
guy
up to a taxi driver and he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm trying to make an honest buck." And I was like, "The light's green. You gotta go." And he's just yelling at everyone. Like, it's man.
It really is Billy on the Street. It's 1,000% Billy on the Street. Like 30 years before that show existed.
I know. I can't imagine. This is way too niche to say that Billy Eichner saw this. But boy, did it give me that vibe. Side note, Al was never on Billy on the Street, was he?
I don't think so.
God, that would have been like, just thinking about that, Weird Al and Billy Eichner doing something together just immediately made me feel really good inside.
We'll have to contact Billy Eichner.
Let's get Billy Eichner on the show.
And when he gets on the show, we'll play him this clip and then we'll say, "Explain yourself."
That sounds like a plan. There you go, everybody. That's some behind the scenes stuff for you.
But then we do get the tour dates finally. Like, there's maybe 5 minutes left in this special. I only wrote down two things. A lot of it didn't jump out at me as, like, laugh out loud funny. But as we said before, he always finds one fictional name that is just, like, a collection of words. And this time it's Stinky Freddy's Discount Tuba Parlor, which
yes.
is just... It's insane that he can come up with so many words that actually do roll off the tongue very nicely when you say it out
yes.
loud.
It's true. And I always love, I'll never not laugh when he announces his tour dates and then he throws in like, "And then on June 5th, taking the day off to have my teeth cleaned."
Yeah.
I just love that he includes his dental cleanings.
His personal
with his
schedule.
Tour dates. It's just his calendar basically for the next few weeks.
And then a sold out month at the Sky Dome.
But the thing that I noticed, the very first date he lists, he calls Alapalooza.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I did.
Where it's him and all these other Als.
I wonder if this is where the name of that album came from.
It's the first reference I have ever seen. I was like, I couldn't believe it. Like, that's the first time I've ever
heard
him use that
term. You know
what?
It didn't even click in my head because, in my head, I'm just obviously he's promoting. Well, we're a year from Alapalooza.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
That was like the last time that he did like two back to back like that. But yeah, I was like, oh, he he's obviously promoting the Alapalooza album.
Yeah.
And until you just said that now, I forgot that this was the off the
deep
end.
No, this is off the deep end. This is off the deep end. So Alapalooza, I mean, maybe.
Because the bit was that it was all Al's, right? It was like him, Al Green, Al Franken. Like,
exactly. It was all Al's, a festival of nothing but Al's. Who knows? It could have been a throwaway. I would guess maybe he wrote it for this, because it doesn't seem like he didn't write it for this. And then it was just like, oh, that's a funny name.
Yeah. I guess the Lollapalooza just continued to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So why not?
Exactly.
Which is, again, it is funny. Lollapalooza, kind of like this giant alternative music festival. Alapalooza, barely an alternative song or song parody to be found on the entire album. It's a very weird name choice for that album.
It is a weird name choice. I mean, yeah, we're going to... A lot of Alapalooza talk is... coming down.
I think that there's people who've been waiting for this, because I've been hinting at my like underwhelming nature of this album. But again, I haven't listened to it for years. I could totally have my mind changed in the coming weeks.
Yeah, it was interesting. We recently listened to Jurassic Park for that for our crossover podcast episode, and that was a fun little preview of it. But yeah, no, I'm also very excited to dive into that record.
So the last thing that I had written down is that we get an Ozzy Osbourne interview as well. And
there's one other quick. I liked the idea of there's a very short interview he does with two members of Def Leppard.
Yes.
The setup of this is that the lead singer, Al's like doing the news, and he is like, Def Leppard, the singer of Def Leppard, has lost his car keys. And they say, like, that's it. We really are jinxed.
Yeah.
And we're going to stop now. And of course, for people who don't know, like the drummer of Def Leppard was in a car accident in the 80s, and he lost one of his arms, and then wound up playing drums as a one-armed drummer.
Yeah.
So this is a reference to that. After all that, the singer loses his car keys and they decide we have to break up.
Yeah.
we're cursed as a band.
We're cursed.
Yes.
And the only thing I wrote down with the Ozzy Osbourne interview, it's fine. But I just was like, this is another one of those ones where I'm like, what was happening in this original interview? Because Ozzy is saying insane things. Like, I mean, yeah. I guess he's on drugs because it's Ozzy Osbourne and it's the early 90s. But like, there are moments where Al's just like, all right, repeat after me. And then he's just saying crazy phrases, and then it just cuts to Ozzy saying those crazy phrases, and I'm like, what was happening? What was this interview originally?
Yeah. Al says, can you say, can you just repeat after me? Just say, lippy, lipy, pipey, sinking. And that's what Ozzy says.
Yeah.
And then he was like, now say, I didn't write this exact down, but like, toodle, moodle, hammy, sing.
And then, Ozzy goes, what the hell's
hammy sing? And it's the weirdest, like, incredibly strange. We get a nice little Al throwing in a poodle reference where he asks Ozzy if he's ever bit the head off a live poodle. And Ozzy, of course, goes, yeah, it's just fun. It's just fun. I also like at the very top, at the very top of the interview, Al asks Ozzy, he's like, how have you been? Have you been good lately? And Ozzy just goes, my kid went to see a movie and got run over. It's like, what are you talking about?
Oh,
so good.
The only other thing we need to give a quick shout out to, because we forgot to, is actually Tom Petty interview does get a Harvey the Wonder Hamster reference as well.
Tom Petty, yeah, Al asks if Tom is willing to come to his house and do a concert just for him and his hamster, Harvey.
Yeah.
Yes.
For his hamster's birthday, because Renegade is his favorite song.
Yes, exactly. Right. Refugee.
Refugee
is his favorite song, yeah. The Ozzy interview is just hilarious and weird. And then the only other thing I have in my notes is I love right before the Ozzy interview, there's a call-in, like it's a call-in show. Mm-hmm. I think this is staged, but someone calls in and is just being incredibly complimentary to Al and is just like, oh my God, like, I just love you so much. So nice to talk to you. You're my biggest fan. And Al just is like pushing him off the phone. He's like, yeah, that's great. That's great. That's great. Is it just something you want to ask me? Oh, just like, I'm such a huge fan. Okay, yeah. I get it. Is there anything you want to ask me?
Yeah.
And then the guy's like, oh yeah, I mean, well, could you just, would you mind, shoving a blueberry pie in your face.
Yeah.
And then Al does that, of course.
There's a similar joke where he's doing a thing about how much he loves the fans, and there's a fan behind him in the mirror, and you see him just kind of point and snap at somebody, and then you see them drag him away in the background.
Another great, like, doing the show in front of the window where everyone can watch the live broadcast, and no one's there. It's just one guy holding up a Weird Al sign, and security tackles him. Yeah, it's great.
It's so good. I actually had a lot of fun with this. This was an interesting way to dip our toes into something, and now I'm really curious to see how much deja vu we have after Off the Deep End when we watch the Al TV. Like, how much of this got recycled, or is it just the Paula Abdul?
Like, agreed. So. Yeah, I think maybe some of those interviews will wind up coming back. We'll see. But I was impressed. I mean, again, with the exception of that chunk in the middle that's basically just the complete Al and the solar-powered skull plate radio.
And the Paul McCartney clip.
And the Paul McCartney, yes. He reuses the Paul McCartney interview bit, which again
still
is
made
a great,
me laugh.
Great was... bit. I laugh every time. But for the most part, yeah, this is original content. He definitely did not just phone it in. It would have been very easy for him to have shot a couple scenes in their studio and then use entirely pre-recorded. Oh, but also, then it just dates it very badly, right? Because he's talking to all these people. Like, he really wants it to be current and topical and all that. So.
I mean, it was all worth it alone just for the Al Street interview segment. Like, that made this entire thing a worthwhile journey.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, well, we'll be back next week because we're not quite done with Al's television appearances leading up to Off the Deep End. Some people have emailed us about this specific television episode that we're about to talk about because Al was on an MTV game show in the early 90s.
So we're going to throw it back, yes.
Yeah, stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.